We're back in the Ramban after seeing that Gemara in Yevamos. So the Gemara said that Pashup Shat in the Pasuk is that the newborn child is named after the deceased uncle, after the first husband. And Drasha teaches us that no, you don't name him at all after the deceased first husband, but rather he inherits, or the new father inherits the deceased brother. So the Ramban says, "V'imayabi yad chachamim kabbalam sheyeh ben asher teleda ivama yoreshet nichsei dodo v'yumarbim im ze min hamidrash sheyeh gadol l'achim miyabem la yukorim ze mikra yotzei midei pshuto klal." But says the Ramban, if the rabbis had a tradition that the child that the Yavama has, he does inherit his uncle, and together with this, they would have also derived that the older brother, he is the one that has the mitzvah of doing Yibum, they wouldn't have said that's the removal of the Pshat at all. Aval mipnei shem ukrim bekana Pshat legamre, but being that they completely uproot the Pshat, they say the child doesn't get named, the child doesn't inherit. The one who inherits, the one who really takes on the brother's name, so to speak, is the brother who married her. So then they're completely uprooting it. It says, Vaya bechor asher teled, her firstborn child. Come Chazal and say, Vaya bechor, the firstborn brother. Asher teled, he'll only marry her if she could have kids. Yakum al shem achiv, well, that brother who marries her, he takes over the deceased brother's assets. Hey, wait, that's not pshat in the pasuk. Okay, you can darshan it, but don't uproot the pshat. Ah, but we did uproot the pshat. Chazal say, yeah, that's the one time we uprooted the pshat. So that's why they say that they're uprooting, they're okrim, because the pshat has no representation here in halacha. V'zoi kavanatam b'chol makom shuzkar zeh b'talmud. So this is what Chazal mean when they say, en mikra yotze midei pshuto. All they're saying is that the pshat has to have some form of representation. Not that you're going to take on the pshat and that's the only part that's biblical. Lo sheyitkavnu la'akor ha'gzirot shavah v'aribuyim v'zudatam min ha'midrashim chas v'shalom. Not God forbid, the way Maimonides suggests, that they're really coming to uproot the gzir shavah and the ribuyim, the laws of derivation, and say that all of them, well, they're not really biblical. No, that's not what they're saying, says Nachmanides. And mikai tzem de pshuto means that Pasha Pshat will have a representation. It's not completely uprooted. Should I add something? We once discussed the word Yad, remember?
Yad?
Yidei? Mevi Lidei?
Lidei?
Yeah, you have a lot of Mishnayos and Gemaras, Mevi Lidei. So, Rav Pesach Zatzal said, and after many years, I found that Rav Chaim Volozhin, his students wrote a work summarizing what he said on Pirkei Avos, and over there they say what Rav Pesin said. He was very happy when I showed him a source for it. That Lidei is like the word Yad. Yad is a handle. Yad Kli. So when it says Mevi Lidei, you do this, it brings you to the handle of the next thing. It doesn't cause the next thing directly. It causes the next thing to be accessible. It's Mevi Lidei, to the handle of. Same thing here. En mikra yotze, perhaps we have to be medayek, perhaps we have to say, en mikra yotze miyedei pshuto. The actual Pashup Shat, maybe not, but the handle of Pashup Shat. You can never remove it from the handle of Pashup Shat, from some extension of Pashup Shat. Maybe. Maybe. Back to the Ramban. Maybe, yeah. Ochinyana zamhu bashlishi shel ktubot. And in this vein, we find the Talmud in the third chapter of Ksubos. If a girl got engaged, biblical engagement, Erusin, and then she got divorced, so if someone takes her against her will, so then he has to give, he has to pay the knas. Meaning, the Torah says if he takes a girl forcibly and she's never been married, you pay knas. What happens if she was engaged and divorced? Rabbi Kiva says there's still a knas. So in the Mishnah it says, who gets that tax? She's still a young girl. she gets it. Because once she's been engaged, she actually left her father's home, so she is an independent girl, and the tax goes to her. Ubebraita, and in the Braisa it says, v'knasa le'aviya. The Braisa says the tax goes to the father, meaning we fine him, we fine the guy who took her, and that fine, who gets it? So Rabbi Akiva says, in the Mishnah it says that she gets it, she's left her father's home, that's it. And the Braisa says, no, her father gets it. V'shalu. I understand Rabbi Akiva in the Mishnah, because the Gzeirah Shavah doesn't completely uproot the pshat of the Pasuk. And Rabbi Akiva de Braita at the Gzeirah Shavah, Mavkale lekame pshate legamrei, umtarets, karibei asher lo arusa. The Pasuk says if someone abducts a girl, asher lo orasa, that was not engaged. So, we learn Gzeir Shava. I have to look at it inside. I don't know what I've been. 1 second. No, this one's going to be short. Mara says in Ksugos like this. If a girl got engaged and then she got divorced, so Rabbi Yossi Aglili says there is no fine. Because the pasuk says, if he abducts a girl, asher lo orasa, that was never engaged. No, that makes sense. Rabbi Akiva says, no. The Torah says, if he abducts a girl that was never engaged, so then he pays the fine to her father. So what Rabbi Akiva says is, yeah, if she was never engaged, then the fine goes to her father. If she was engaged, then that doesn't mean there is no fine. It just means the fine doesn't go to the father. It goes to the girl herself. That's what Rabbi Akiva says. So the Gemara questions that from different angles. And then the Gemara says, then the Gemara says that Rabbi Akiva proves it logically from the laws of engagement, from the laws of marriage, that the father just 1 second. So, Rabbi Akiva uses he learns Gzeirah Shavah. This is going to be long. You want to see it inside? It's a long Gemara. I don't see how I could say it in short, because there's a all to and fro. You want to see the Gemara inside? We'll learn one more Gemara? Okay. We have to start on Amud Aleph to see the backdrop to the few lines that we need. It's a build-up. You got to see the to and fro. So the Mishnah says, "Na'ara shenitarsav nitgarsha, Rabbi Yosef Aglili omer en laknas." If then she was taken forcibly, then being that she was engaged and then divorced, so the Torah says, when does he pay the knas? When he took a girl that was never engaged. Once she was engaged, he doesn't pay the fine. That's Rabbi Yossi Aglili's opinion. Rabbi Kiva Omer, yesh haknas v'knasa la'atzma. Rabbi Kiva says, there is a fine only, she gets the fine herself. When the Pasuk says that one who takes a girl forcibly, if she wasn't engaged, pays the fine to her father, it's coming to say, if she was engaged once in her life, then he pays the fine to herself, to the girl herself. My time with Rabbi Yossi Aglili. What's the source for Rabbi Yossi of Galilee's opinion? The Pasuk says, if he takes a girl who was never engaged forcibly, he pays the fine to her father. We understand that to mean, ha'usa en laknas. But if she was once engaged in her life, even though she got divorced from that engagement, then he doesn't pay the fine altogether. For Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Akiva says the Pasuk is to be interpreted, asher lo rasa la'aviyah. If she was never engaged, he give the fine to the father. Ha'usa la'atzma. But if she was once engaged in her life, then she gets the fine herself. So the Gemara says, wait a second. The Pasuk says, when do you pay the fine? If he takes a girl who was a young girl, forcibly. An older girl, there isn't this fine. He gets charged other things, but not this fine. So then why don't you say the same derivation, Rabbi Akiva? Elamata, na'ara velo bogeret. The Pasuk says, if a person takes a na'ara, a young girl, forcibly, he pays this and this fine. So aside from all the other damages he has to pay. So why don't you say the same derivation here? Dilatzma, that when does he have to pay the fine to the father? When she was a young girl. But if she's an older girl, then don't say it means there is no fine, but rather you don't pay it to the father, you pay it to the girl herself. You, Rabbi Akiva, why don't you say that? The Pasuk says he only pays this fine if she was bitula, if she was a virgin, velo bula. Hachanami, why don't you say the same thing? That the Pasuk's telling you if she's a virgin, the father gets the knas, but if she wasn't, then latzma, then she gets the knas. Why don't you say the same logic? But over here you say that it means that there is no fine if she wasn't at that age, if she wasn't at that physical state. So that's Rabbi Yossi's claim. He says, just like the rest of the Pasuk you interpret to mean that if you don't have these criteria, there is no fine. By the same token, this last criterion that she was never engaged is also indicative of this halacha. If she was never engaged, there is a fine. If she was engaged, there is no fine. Amar Rabbi Akiva, how does Rabbi Akiva defend himself? Rabbi Akiva says, no, we use this pasuk the way it says in the Braisa. The Braisa says the following. The Braisa says the following. Asher lo oras prat lenara shnitosav nitgirsha she'en laknas divrei Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Rabbi Yossi Aglili, we know that's his opinion. Rabbi Akiva omer yesh taknas v'knasa la'aviyah. Rabbi Akiva says, no. There is a tax, there is a fine, only it goes to the father. V'adin noten, and logic dictates that the father should get it. Hoil v'avi hazakai b'kesef kiddushah. Being that if the young girl gets married, so you give the father the money, the kiddushin, and if the young girl gets taken forcibly, you pay the father the fine. Just like by kiddushin. Let's say as a young girl she would get engaged and divorced and then engaged a second time, then who do you give the money to? The father, because she's still a young girl. She goes back to his home. So too the money of the knas, even though she was engaged and divorced, should go to the father. So then why does the pasuk say that the fine is only paid to a girl that was never engaged? Mufne. That pasuk seems to be superfluous. It's really there for a hekesh and to learn the following zereshava. It says that there's a criterion that she never be engaged over here by a girl that was taken forcibly and by a girl that was seduced. So we say That's the quite the two parshios. Just like here the fine is 50 coins, so too there. Umalalan shkalim, afkan shkalim. Just like over there, it says he gives a fine of shkalim, so too over here, when it says 50, it means 50 shkalim. Rabbi Akiva, my chazit dashalo rasa legzira shava, uftula lemute beula. Rabbi Akiva, why do you learn the derivations this way? You say, the words lo rasa, they don't mean that. What they mean is they're there for gzira shava. But the word betula, when it says she has to have been a virgin when she was taken forcibly, there you say, that's the exclusion of a woman who was a beula. Ema betula legzira shava. Why don't you use the gzera shava besula? It says in both parshios the word besula. So say that, no, she doesn't have to be a virgin, but equate, say that the word besula is superfluous for gzera shava, to equate the parsha of ones, or a girl taken forcibly, with the parsha of mifate, a girl that was seduced. You're telling me, I have an extra word. I won't understand that word to mean what it says. I'll use it for gzera shava. The Gemara says, well, who told you which word not to understand the way it says? You're saying, yes, the Pasuk says there's a condition that she was never engaged. I don't take that meaning. Really, those words are just there for Gzeir Shava. So the Gemara says, really? Okay, so why don't you choose a different word and say, we won't take that. It's just there for Gzeir Shava.
Does it depend which word is tradition on?
Good question. It seems that Chazal did not always have a tradition which word was the Gzeir Shava. Sometimes they had a tradition to learn from one halacha to another, but they didn't have a tradition which word was supposed to get them there. Sometimes they had a tradition that this word was used for gzera shava, but they didn't have a tradition where to get it from, which parsha to get it from. That's what it seems like. So, Eina, the Gemara says, you, Rabbi Akiva, why don't you learn like this? Bitula l'gzera shava. The word besula doesn't mean that the girl has to have been a virgin in order for the fine to apply, but it's only there for gzera shava. And the words ashalo rasa, that condition that she was never engaged, that you should take literally to mean to the exclusion of a girl that was engaged and got divorced. Why don't you learn that way, Rabbi Akiva? Answers the Gemara. It seems logical that the words asher lo orasa are there for gzera shava. Shara ani kore ba nara betula, because the pasuk says a girl that is a virgin. Okay, how do I understand the girl that is a virgin? That means that she could have gotten engaged and divorced, but she's still a virgin because she never got married. But so the Gemara says, Adrabah, why don't you go the other way? Bitula l'gzera shava. Say that the word besula is used for gzera shava, and she doesn't have to be a virgin, because sharani koreba shalom rasa. Because let's say the girl was promiscuous. She never got engaged, but she's not a virgin. So she fits the other criterion. If you'll take the other criterion literally, so then she could fit the other criterion, and yet she doesn't have to be a virgin. The Gemara says it seems to make more sense that a girl that got engaged but got divorced and is still a virgin will have the tax, because she's still the same girl. Meaning after she's not a virgin, something changed here. But so long as she's still a virgin, I say it's the same girl, nothing really changed. So there was a legal contract, they got married, and then there was a divorce, they got divorced. It seems to make more sense that the pasuk would leave her at the same status when she remains a virgin, just underwent a legal process of being engaged and divorced, than to say that the pasuk left her at the same status when she underwent a physical change, although it didn't have legal ramifications, meaning she didn't ever get married to anyone, but she lost her virginity. She was promiscuous. It seems less likely, if I have to choose which one the pasuk is telling me, it seems more likely that the pasuk leaves her at the same status when there was no physical change. Rabbi Yossi Aglili, hay svara min ale, nafka le midetanya, kesef ishko, kama obtulot, sheyeze kama obtulot, kama obtulot, kaze. Kash ad Rabbi Kiva, ad Rabbi Akiva. The Gemara says, we have over here a contradiction between Rabbi Akiva and the Braisa, and Rabbi Akiva and the Mishnah. In the Mishnah, Rabbi Akiva says, she gets the money. In the Braisa, Rabbi Akiva says, no, just like her father gets her engagement money, so her father gets the money of the fine. So you have a contradiction in what Rabbi Akiva is saying. Says the Gemara, Traitanai Valid Rabbi Akiva. You have two Tanoim, you have Machlokas Tanoim, what Rabbi Akiva said. Says the Gemara, Bisham, Rabbi Akiva Demet Nitin, Latig Zrachvam, Apkele, Likame, Pshate, Ligamre. I understand according to Rabbi Akiva in the Mishnah. So then, I don't have a gzera shava uprooting the literal meaning of the pasuk, because I'm maintaining, I'm just saying, lo orasa, she wasn't engaged, that's when her father gets it. If she was engaged, then she gets it. Fine, that's within the literal meaning of the pasuk. It didn't completely uproot the literal meaning. But according to Rabbi Akiva in the Braisa, at gzera shava umatkam epshata legamrei, the gzera shava completely uproots it. The pasuk says, when do you pay the fine if she was never engaged? The Gzer Shava comes and says, no, I'm just going to use those words to equate it with the case of Mifate, of a man who seduced a girl. But over here, even if she was engaged, you pay the fine. What do you mean? The Pasuk says, provided that she wasn't engaged. The Gzer Shava comes and turns the Pasuk upside down. How do you do that? That's called that it uprooted it completely. Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, so Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak answers that question. Read the verse to mean, when do you pay the tax, provided that she wasn't engaged at the time of the abduction. If he took her forcibly and she was an engaged biblically, then he doesn't pay the fine. The Gemara says, how could that be? Arusa batzkilai. If she was engaged, of course he doesn't pay the fine. He gets the death penalty. He took a married woman. She... The Gemara says, you're right, but being that over here there is a new law, this whole concept of a new fine, maybe the Torah meant to say, even though he gets a death penalty, he should also pay the fine. That's why the Torah had to say, provided that she's not engaged when he takes her. Because I would have thought, if it's a tax, so you could tax a person whenever you want. It's the Torah's a mention, fine him. So maybe the Torah meant fine him even though he's getting the death penalty. That's why the Torah had to say, he only pays the fine if she wasn't engaged, meaning literally engaged at that time. Now the Gemara says, once I've redefined what those words mean, that's not called that I've uprooted the pshat of the pasuk. So this is where the Ramban is going to zone in, on this line. Now back to the Ramban. And in this vein you find the Talmud in the third chapter of Ksubas. The Talmud says, the Talmud over there says, according to Rabbi Akiva's opinion in the Braisa, if a girl was engaged and divorced, so then you, one who takes her forcibly pays the fine. In the Mishnah, Rabbi Akiva holds, she gets the fine. And in the Braisa, Rabbi Akiva holds viknasa le'aviyah, that her father gets the fine. Two opinions, what Rabbi Akiva held. The Shalu, and then the Gemara asks about that Braisa. The Gemara said, I understand according to the Mishnah, according to Rabbi Akiva, the Gzera Shava isn't completely uprooting the Pasuk. El Rabbi Akiva, the Braita, but according to Rabbi Akiva and the Braisa, so the Pasuk says she's not engaged, and Rabbi Akiva says, well, even if she is engaged, you pay the fine. Those words, she's not engaged, I use for Gzera Shava. Well, then the Gzera Shava is uprooting Pshat in the Pasuk. Umtaret, and then the Gemara answers, Karibe Asher Lo Arusa. Read the words that the Torah is telling you, when does he pay the fine? Provided that she wasn't engaged at the time that he abducted her. So that's the way the Gemara answers, and so the Gzer Shav is not uprooting the meaning of the Pasuk. Because all they meant to say is that you cannot completely uproot the Pshat of the Pasuk. I can alter the Pshat of the Pasuk, I can't completely uproot it. So the Ramban is looking for the closest case to the case in Yevamos. In Yevamos, the Gemara says, this is the one case where I uprooted it. That's it, gone. No pshat in Pasuk. You don't name the child after the deceased uncle. But here in Ksubas, the Gemara finds a way out. So what's the way out? Yeah, I find a way of interpreting the pshat in the pasuk, and then it's cool that I didn't completely uproot the pshat in the pasuk. And this is what it means in Mikra Yotzeim Dei Pshuto. Not like the Rambam said, he made a huge rule out of this, that this is the prime rule in derivations, that the Pashup Shad is the focus, and that's the biblical part of the Pasuk. No! All it means is that your derivation cannot ignore or uproot completely the Pashup Shad in the Pasuk. The Pashup Shad still has to have some representation. Chazal didn't say the verse has no interpretation other than pshat. What Chazal meant to say is you have the derivation together with pshat in the pasuk. And you can't uproot either one completely. The medrash remains, but the pshat also remains. The pasuk takes on all of them, the pshat and the midrash, and they're all true. Okay, I think we're out of time.